Today, as I said, I would like to preach on the subject and upon the person and man who was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. Already we find in the book of the Acts, and the book of the Acts can be spoke of the actions and the movings and the works of the Holy Spirit. From Acts chapter 1 right through to the final chapter of Acts in this book, you will read of much happenings and much movings of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. How the Lord said to His people that they were to tarry in Jerusalem and they were to wait there until they received power. And the power was the power of the Holy Ghost. As they were there in Acts chapter 1, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascending up into heaven. And the angels of the Lord said unto the disciples, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? Because this same Lord Jesus, as you see Him ascend into heaven, He will come again." Men and women, the Lord Jesus is coming again. Just as He ascended into heaven in a cloud, He one day will come again in a cloud. But men and women, He gave those men a command, that they were to tarry at Jerusalem. They were to wait until they received the power of the Holy Ghost, as the Lord had promised, that "you shall not have me always, but I would send the Comforter, and the Comforter is the Spirit of God." And as you will find in Acts chapter 1, the Bible says they went up into the upper room, and it said they were there with the sisters and brothers in the Lord, and they prayed. They were all there with one accord. Do you get it? Unity, brethren. Unity. They were in the prayer meeting, and they were there with unity, and they were there with one accord. And while they were praying, the Holy Ghost came down, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. And the Lord said that they were not only to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, but in Samaria and to the outermost parts of the world. And throughout chapter 1 to chapter 6, we're told that Peter began to preach. And as Peter began to preach, and he preached Christ, his message was Christ. He preached the cross. He preached the finished work of Calvary. And as he preached Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost and 3,000 souls were converted unto the Lord. Get it, men and women? They only heard the gospel for the first time, and 3,000 were added unto the Lord. Can I just stop there? How often have you heard the gospel? How many times have you heard the preaching of the Word of God, and still you're not saved? 3,000 souls were added onto the church. And if you take the time in your Bible and go through the Acts of the Apostles and study the movings of the Holy Spirit, you will find that from that day on, the Church of Christ began to grow. The disciples began to be multiplied in number. Many were being added unto the church. Many were turning from their sin and were turning unto the Lord. Until we come to our character within Scripture. Somewhere between Acts 1 and Acts chapter 6, this man called Stephen came to know the Lord. Somewhere in that, through the preaching of the apostles and through the witness of those men of God, this young man came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. And we pick him up in Acts chapter 6. And what we're told in the Bible is this, in verse 1 of Acts 6, we're told, "In those days, when the number of the disciples multiplied," you see, there's the proof. The Lord was working. The Spirit of God was moving. Many were being saved. Many were being added on to the work of God. And the disciples was growing in number. And then the Bible says, and there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. There comes a friction, doesn't there? You'll always find when God is on the move, when the Lord is blessing and the Spirit of God has been pouring out, there'll always come this sort of attention. And the attention arises between the Hebrew women and the Grecian women. And the Grecians think that they're being left out on the ministerial work, that the widows were not being seen to. And the disciples give good counsel. Look at their counsel. They turn around and they say to them, choose you out. In verse 3 they say, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Don't just choose out anybody. Look out seven men among you full of the Holy Ghost, of an honest report, and of wisdom. And men and women, it's no surprise. When you and I begin to look at this great martyr of the faith, it's no wonder that Stephen's name is mentioned first. Because look at how the Lord indicates them through the Spirit of God. And the saying of this pleased the people. The people were pleased with this saying. And they chose out seven men. And the Bible says, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Get it? You see, men and women today, Stephen was a man full of the Spirit of God. Stephen was a man full of faith. And the name Stephen simply means crown. And the name Stephen also, it's Greek. And it's no surprise that when they chose Stephen, they chose a man who was Greek. They chose a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. But they chose a man who had the love of Christ in his heart. He was passionate about the Lord's work. He loved the Lord with all his heart. He loved to serve the Lord. He was fully committed to the cause of Christ. And in choosing Stephen, Stephen is named among the seven men of the first deacons of the Christian church. And you see, men and women and young people, what I want to bring out today is three points in Stephen's life. I want us to look at three areas of his life. What was so unique about this man? What was it that the people saw in him? And what was his ministry? And then we'll look at his death. We want to look at the character, the ministry of the man, and the death of the man. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, we only find a little part of Stephen's life between chapter 6, 7, and at the end of 8. But there's enough in these chapters to tell me enough about this man. Because you see, when I look at his character, when you begin to look at his character, I already told you he was Greek. And I already told you that his name means crown. And it's no consequence, it's no surprise that this man became a martyr of the faith. And he received the crown of a martyr. You see, men and women, in his character, he was a man of faith. Stephen believed with all his heart on the finished work of Christ. Stephen believed with all of his heart that what Christ had done on the cross was enough for him. He believed that Jesus Christ was the only Savior of sinners. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who came to die on a cross, but not only die and shed his blood, but he believed in all his heart that the third day, according to the scriptures, Christ arose. He believed the Lord Jesus Christ was alive and alive forevermore. He was a man of faith. Forsaking all, he trusted him. That's what faith simply means. Forsaking all, I trust him. And Stephen had great faith in the Word of God. He had great faith in the person of God. He had great faith in the work of God. He was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. You see, ladies and gentlemen, and maybe among the young people, we seem to not understand what this means to be full of the Holy Ghost. You see, men and women, to be out and out for God, there is a cost. To be different, to be separated, to not be like the world, to be completely different, there is a cost to be paid in that. And it's sad that so many of God's people today are not willing to pay the price. There are those who are not willing to wait on God and to pray that the Lord would fill our lives with the Spirit of God. Is it any wonder there's so much failure in our lives? But how we ought to be filled daily by the Spirit of God. Stephen was that man. A man of faith. A man of prayer. A man of an honest report. A man who was upright. In this man's life, he had the fruit of the Spirit in his life. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And men and women and young people today, the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And all of this was all combined into the character and the life of Stephen. Is that in your life? Is that in my life? Have we got the fruit of the Spirit in our life? The love of Christ? The joy of our salvation? The peace of God that passeth all understanding? The long-suffering endurance? The gentleness, kindness, and meekness? And goodness? Full of faith? You see, men and women, it was all built into his life. You see, when you look at the character of the man, you can see he stood out, didn't he? It wasn't hard for these people to make that choice. They realized when they looked at Stephen, they could see the Lord in his life. Stephen had the every quality that the man of God ought to be. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say this with love and kindness and tenderheartedness? When it comes to you and I to choose leadership of the church, that ought to be the quality that we're looking for the elder, for the committee man, for the youth leader, for the Sunday school teacher, someone who's full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, who loves the Lord, and of a good report. Honest and faithful in business. And faithful before his fellow man. You see, men and women, the world read us like books. The world can tell you and I how we ought to live. And the world know either you're genuine or you're not genuine. But when they looked at Stephen, there was no question. When they looked into the character and the life of Stephen, they could tell him assured he not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk. And men and women today, it's easy to preach it than it is to live it. But in Stephen's life, he not only preached it, but he lived it. And that's why the Lord could say, he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man full of faith. He was a man of an honest report. There's something else about him, you know that? There's something else about this man's character that is beautiful. I want you to come down to the last verse in chapter 6, verse 15. And I want you to see this. Not only do you see the character and the maturity and the things that God has blessed him, the grace. This is, we just looked at the first, the grace in his life. But I want you to look at his face. I want you to look into the face of a martyr. Into the face of a man of God. And as Stephen was arrested and as he stood in the council, the Bible tells us, and all they that sat in the council looked steadfast on him. They were looking at him. You know what they saw? They saw the face of an angel. Do you get it? Here's this man of God. Arrested, brought before the council, and they're all standing gazing at him. And what do they see? They see his complexion, they see his array, they see his face, and it's like an angel. You know what that tells me? This man lived close to the Lord. This man continually lived in the presence of his God. He spent time in the Word of God with Christ. He spent time in prayer with Christ. He spent time in his ministry with the Lord. Everything Stephen did was Christ-like. And when he came to the prison and to the council, all they could see was the face of an angel. He glowed like Christ. He had a bright array like a Savior. There, can you see him standing in that dock with those counsel and wicked men? And the Lord has brightened him up. And his face is just shining like an angel. See, men and women, the character of the man. You see the qualities in the man. And you can see his reflection. It's Christ-like. He's like a Savior. And young people, men and women, the more time that you and I spend alone and get the Word alone with God, with Christ, the more you become like Him. You see, when Moses went up into the mountain to receive the commands, when he came back down, the people of Israel said, Moses, hide your face. They couldn't look in Moses' face because the brightness and the glory of the Lord, it blinded them. And those who live close to the Lord will shine like diamonds in a dark world. You know, men and women, today, I go back over my time when I came to know the Lord, and they're old people who used to sit in the prayer meeting. And tonight, today, they're in heaven, they're home with the Lord, but their memory is as sweet as the just. I can still remember because they live so close to the Lord. Their prayers would have melted your heart. Maybe there's someone in your area and they just glow for the Lord. Maybe there's someone in your family. And they've come to know Christ and everything about them. They just glow for the Lord. You're just looking at them and you can see the Lord in their life. You can see the change. You can see the difference. You can see what the Lord means to them. And they're lighting up your home. Maybe in your workplace. Maybe in your business. Maybe the people you meet as they come into your shop, your factory. They can look upon you and say, there is a child of God. Can that be seen? Men and women, what do the world see in you and me? What do they see? Do they see just a bunch of hypocrites? Do they see just a bunch of people who are willing to dress themselves up in fancy suits and go to church one day a week, but live like the world 6 days of it? Or can they see a difference? Can they see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives? Can they see the Christ-like example? Can they see the love of the Lord in our hearts? See, men and women, that's part of Stephen's character. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. He had all these qualities built into his life. You see the grace in his life. He was filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And his face had shone like an angel. Brings me on to my second point, and I want you to look at it. We come to look at Stephen's ministry. This man wasn't just saved to sit and be idle. But God saved this man for a purpose. The Lord had a plan for Stephen's life. In Stephen's ministry, he grew as a child of God. He grew in grace. He grew in the knowledge and the love of his Savior. He began to mature in the faith until it came to that day of election. And Stephen was chosen to be a deacon, to be a committee man. There's his role of ministry. His ministry was to see and attend to the widows of the Grecians. And that tells me he was a man of care. He was a man of kindness. He had a heart of a heart of gold. And they put Stephen in charge to see out to that ministry, that the apostles could continue in the Word of God and in prayer. Deacon, don't think your role as an office bearer is of little importance. Don't you think that? If you've been appointed a deacon in the church, you're appointed there for a purpose, to carry out the role that is expected within the church. And Stephen knew his role. He knew his role of ministry, and it was to attend to the widows, to give comfort, to give grace, to give succor, to give encouragement in the time of need. And brethren, can I say it? Don't forget it either. It's okay after the funeral service, crowds come and crowds go. But when the door's closed, a few weeks go by, and hardly anybody comes. The apostles told the deacons, we will give ourselves to the Word of God and the prayer. And you see to the needs. Get it? Bear ye one another's burdens, which is to fulfill the law of Christ. Stephen had a heart, and in his ministry, he loved the people. He loved the people of God. He loved the work of God. And as he went into those widows, he gave comfort, succor. He gave a word in season. When you go to a hospital bed, just don't stand staring at the monitor. Before you leave it, there's nothing wrong with giving that little word. Open your Bible and read a word of encouragement, or say a little prayer, or let them know we're praying about you. Men and women, that means a lot to someone who's deep down in the valley. You see, Stephen's ministry role was the ministry of a deacon. But you know, something else was in his life. Stephen could preach. And boy, he could preach. Because if you look at the Word of God, it says that when Stephen preached in chapter 7, it says in that verse, in verse 54 of chapter 7, when they heard these things, that Stephen preaching, they were cut to the heart. Do you see it? He didn't preach any old fairy tale story. He didn't preach anything that tickled the ears. This man preached to the heart. He preached from the heart to the heart. That's the difference. That's the difference, men and women. When a man spends time alone with God, God lays the message right on the heart. And when the message is done and laid on the heart in the quiet place, then it comes from the mouth and it comes from the heart to the heart. And when Stephen preached, he put it right to the heart. He put it right to the heart. He says, you're nothing but a bunch of stiff-necked people. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As it was delivered unto your fathers, so do you. You resist the speaking voice of God. You resist the law of God. You stop to hear what God wants to tell you. Did they like it? Not one bit. Not one bit did they like the truth. I tell you, men and women and young people, what people need to hear today is the truth. There's too much old fairy tale and buttoning about the bush. Men and women, what men and women, boys and girls need to hear today is the truth and the truth of God's word. What we need in our land today is preaching that comes from the heart and it cuts to the heart. You see, if you look back at that chapter in chapter 6, in verse 8, when he's before the people, get this, I hope you miss this. When he preaches, he cuts to the heart. But look at verse 8 in chapter 6. And Stephen, full of faith and of power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now go down to verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. You see it? This man knew how to divide the word of God. This man knew how to put the enemies of the cross on the back foot. He was one who studied the Word of God. He was one who spent time in the Word of God. And when it came to deliver it, Stephen could deliver it with soundness and with power and with wisdom. He had great wisdom. Men and women, we go down the band to speak to young people and put it down. We don't go down and tell them jokes and fairy tale stories. We go down with the message that Jesus Christ is the mighty to save. The Lord is able to take you from the bottle. And the Lord is able to save you. And the Lord is able to set you free. And the Lord is able to give you life. And a life that is worth living. You see, men and women, this man used his wisdom in every circumstance. Led by the Spirit of God, when he preached to the heart. He cut to the heart. And they didn't like it. Can I say this? When Pastor McConnell preached against Islam, he hit the truth. He hit the heart. And they didn't like it. They didn't like it. When the minister points out that sodomy is wrong, that it's undefiled, that it's an abomination, that sodomy is a sin, and we preach what the Word of God says, men and women, don't like it. They don't like it. It cuts to the heart. It cuts to the conscience. And it makes men troubled. You see, that's the type of preaching that I grew up in. Going under into wee gospel missions and little orange halls and little tent missions. And there you could have sensed the very presence of God. You knew the Lord was in that place. Men and women, you older people, looking back down through the history and generation of the Free Presbyterian Church, there was times you were feared to move off your seat because you knew God was there. Because the preaching was coming from the heart. The preaching was cutting in. It was backed by the Holy Spirit. Men preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. Men and women, that's what we need today. That's what we all need. We all need a baptism of the Spirit of God. I have to move on to my final point. There was the character of the man. There was the preaching of the man which cut to the heart. But then there was the death of the man. It was how he died. His death was not an ordinary death. Stephen couldn't choose his death. But the Lord had it chose for him. And Stephen's death was to be a death of martyrdom. And this man, as he preached the gospel, they gushed on him with their teeth. They hated him for preaching the gospel. And they took him outside the city. And they stoned him to death. Imagine. For preaching the truth. Men and women, Stephen was the first martyr of the Christian church. Of the New Testament Christian church, Stephen was the first martyr. But he wasn't the last. You get that wee bit? Stephen was not to be the last Christian to be martyred for the faith. What did the Roman Catholic Church do to the Protestants? They took them out and they nailed them to the gibbets. They nailed them to the walls. They pulled them asunder. They set them on fire. Why? Because they stood up for the truth. And they preached the gospel. And just like Stephen, they were willing to die a martyr's death. Why? For preaching the truth. For preaching the gospel. This man was taken outside the city and they stoned him to death. Men and women, as I come to close, Stephen's death was carried out by a satanic attack. It was satanic. They hated it. They got so vile and angry and they just wanted to tear him to shreds. They hated him with passion. They were so full of anger and envy of the devil. They wanted to strip the man apart. But he triumphed in his death. He triumphed. Because you see, men, Stephen was steadfast. Because my Bible tells me that he looked steadfastly towards heaven. He didn't waver in his faith. He didn't crawl up in a little ball and lay down and surrender under the persecution. No, Stephen was strong right to the very end. He was steadfast in his faith. He was steadwardly. And you know something else about it? He was heavenward. He was looking for home. He was looking to heaven because he says, "Behold, I saw heaven open." You get it? You see where I'm going, child of God? He's looking heavenward. And as he looks steadfastly and as he looks homeward and he looks heavenward, what does he see? Men and women, he sees the Lord. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ and he sees Christ in all his glory and he sees the Lord sitting at the right hand. No, he doesn't see him sitting. He says, "I see him standing." I thought about that this last couple of days. Whenever the Lord said, whenever Jesus went up to heaven, he says, "Sit here in my right hand till I make thine enemies a footstool." Hang on a minute. Lord, you said for him to sit. But when Stephen saw the Lord, he was standing. Do you know why? And I thought this over and I thought it over. Do you know why the Lord was standing? To welcome his faithful soldier home. Child of God, do you see it? This man who stood for the truth, this man who preached the truth, this man who loved the Lord, even in his death, he triumphed over his enemies. And you see, men and women, can you see the Lord standing? Welcome and Stephen home. I want you to notice this, and with that close. Men and women, it says there, Stephen said in 56, "Behold, I see heaven open, the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand." And they cried with a loud voice, "There's the hatred of the people against them." And they cast stones again, verse 58, it says, they took him outside the city and they stoned him. But look at this bit. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Can I say in closing, Stephen's death was not in vain. The martyrdom of God's servant was not in vain. Because as they took Stephen out into that city, and as they stoned him, they laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And from that very moment, Saul watched Stephen being put to death, and Saul saw in Stephen something that he hadn't got. Stephen had peace. Stephen had Christ in his heart. Stephen had the Lord with him, even in death. And the death of that martyr was the start of God working in the heart of a man who was totally against Christ.
See, child in God, the importance of witnessing truly and faithfully. The unsaved watch. The unsaved watch. They read. And how will you and I die? When you and I come to die, what a way to die. To say I'm steadfastly looking for home. And as I lie on my deathbed, I see the Lord. And I hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You see, men and women, you know what the Bible says? And this is amazing. Stephen kneeled down. Stephen kneeled down. He didn't fall down. They didn't knock him down. Blood, pain, agony. The man of God, he kneeled down. He submitted and surrendered to the will of God. He said, Lord, if this is what you have chose for me, and this is the Rolls Royce that's to take me home to glory, then, Lord, I accept it. I accept it. He didn't put up a fight. He didn't put up a quarrel. He just knelt down and prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he fell asleep. Child of God, is not a wonderful way to go. Is not a lovely way to go home to glory. If this cancer is what, Lord, you have planned for me to take me home to glory, then, Lord, it's my Rolls Royce to take me to the kingdom. If this sickness, this illness, if this is the way you've appointed out for me, then, Lord, I gladly bear it with grace. And I look for home. And I look for the King. And I hear him say, come home, my child. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. A man stoned to death for preaching the gospel. And yet his death was not in vain. When we come back this evening in the will of the Lord, we will see how that death spoke to that man Saul, who brought him to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. We're going to stand and sing in closing.